Whether you're happily married, merrily single, or looking for love in all the wrong places, chances are you're feeling a bit more amorous today and may spend the evening with that longtime companion of the American cinema, the romantic comedy. But gone are the days of a highbrow Hepburn or a Daffy Doris Day. In fact, A.O. Scott, the film critic for the New York Times, argues that with the advent of, sex rom-coms, they've gotten a lot less, sexy, among other things. We'd like to hear from you. Is the romantic comedy a lost art? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. A.O. Scott is joining us by phone from his home in Brooklyn. And Tony, nice to have you back on the program today.
Very nice to be back, Neil.
And so what's the matter with romantic comedies these days?
To put it most simply, there just aren't as many good ones, I think, as they used to be. I came to write this piece after suffering through the usual film critics ritual in January and February of just, a lot of dreadful movies following the Oscar contenders of the end of the year. And I was seeing movies like 27 Dresses and Fool's Gold with Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson and Over Her Dead Body with Eva Longoria. And I felt like I had seen all of these movies or versions of them every other year since I've been a film critic. And it occurred to me that this is a kind of movie that used to, some of the very best movies that Hollywood used to make, not even so long ago, were romantic comedies. And I was wondering, in a way, how it came to this, how this wonderful tradition that includes the Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn movies, mm-hmm. the Rock Hudson, Doris Day movies, movies with Cary Grant, movies like Bringing Up Baby or It Happened One Night, ended up in such a state of mediocrity.
Well, let's listen to excerpts from a couple of, at other ends of the spectrum, if you will. Here's one of the top films in the country right now. Here's an excerpt from, as you mentioned, the Matthew McConaughey film, Fool's Gold.
We're still in the air, right?
Technically.
I think he hit the engine. Okay. Wings, flaps, airspeed, altitude, pedals, or the rudder. Check.
How do you know what to do?
PlayStation.
And by contrast, here's a clip from a film that Tony Scott just mentioned, Bringing Up Baby, starring Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn.
You lied to me.
No, I did just...
Telling me a ridiculous story about a leopard.
No, it wasn't a ridiculous story. I have a leopard.
Well, where is the
right
leopard?
Right in there.
I don't believe you, Susan.
But you have to believe me.
I've been the victim of your unbridled imagination once more. All the way you talk about.
All right, what are you going to do?
I'm going to call the zoo.
Oh, no, you can't do that. David, that's the meanest thing I ever heard. He's a pet. He'd be miserable in a zoo. Listen, from my brother Mark from Brazil. Dear Susan, I'm sending you baby. That's baby. A leopard I picked up. Got him with your life. He's 3 years old, gentle as a kitten, and he likes dogs.
For lunch, maybe. Anyway, the difference between those two pieces of dialogue couldn't be more stark.
Well, yes. I mean, one thing is I think that's happened is that in the old kind of classic studio days, some of the best writers and directors were put to work on this kind of picture, and also some of the leading stars. So, you have Howard Hawks directing Bringing Up Baby, people like Ernst Lubitsch and mm-hmm. Frank Capra. These wonderful stars. One thing I think you notice in those two clips, in addition to the quality of the writing, is in the earlier film in Bringing Up Baby, just how mean they're being to each other. And one thing that I think has ruined romantic comedies in a way or softened them is that they're very lukewarm, very very gentle, very anxious, not to hurt anyone's feelings, to put the audience off in any way, but also the main characters in them tend to treat each other much more nicely than they're used to. Romance was, I think, in those old movies, a much more contentious business. So the point of the movie was that you would have, whether it was Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn or Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert or whoever, two very strong personalities in conflict, and the result of the conflict would be their union, and that was the sort of both the romance and the comedy came from that tension that was resolved into love. And I don't think that is done as convincingly now as it used to be.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. We'll start with Mark. Mark with us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Well, hello.
Hi, Mark.
Great show as always.
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment. I don't believe that it's completely dead. And I do agree with your consultant there that, you know, if Cary Grant in today's day treated women the way that he treated Katharine Hepburn, he'd probably be serving time right now. But a couple of movies, Music and Lyrics, Love Actually, and 51st Dates. And one of the common denominators there is Drew Barrymore. I think she's really underappreciated as a comedian.
Well, I would agree with you about Drew Barrymore, but I would only agree with you about the quality of one out of three of those movies. I do like 51st Dates quite a bit. I think it's a charming movie with a very original conceit having to do with her suffering from amnesia and things always happening to her.
Isn't it Groundhog Day as a romantic comedy?
It sort of is Groundhog Day. It has something in common with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind also about how, I mean, one way you solve the problem of how to make, you know, the bliss of first love endure is to have it be a kind of a permanent state of first love. But I think Drew Barrymore is a wonderful actress, a very funny and very able actress. I think there are other exceptions too. There's one, in fact, that opened just today that I saw after I had written my piece for last Sunday's paper, which made me want to, you know, qualify it a little bit, although not take it back entirely, which is a movie called Definitely Maybe. The star of that is Ryan Reynolds, and it also has a very ingenious twist on the story. He's telling his young daughter the story of how he met her mother, and you and she have to guess which of the women he's encountering in his past in the flashback is going to turn out to be her. And what I like about this movie is that it's very, while still being enchanted with a kind of a fairy tale view of love and romance, is also has a degree of realism and honesty about how people actually behave, about the fact that, you know, people get divorced, people break up, love is sometimes uncertain or imperfect. And I think it balances the disillusionment and the longing for illusion and enchantment very well.
Mark, I have to confess a weakness for The Wedding Singer, too. So anyway, appreciate the phone.
Another good one.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for taking my call.
Here's an email. This is from another Mark in Columbus, Ohio. Back then, movies showed us other people's lives. Now they try to show us ours. Sadly, we aren't interesting as they were.
I think that's a very good point. I think that's part of the desire not to alienate the audience, so that you want to show people who are perfectly average, pleasant, likable people who tend to be a bit dull. So the strong individuality that you could see in some of those other movies, the characters that Cary Grant would play or Katharine Hepburn, yeah, no one had ever met or knew people like that, but it was thrilling and exciting and glamorous to watch them. Whereas now, you know, you're watching another movie about people who work in some boring office jobs in Manhattan, but really it was all filmed in Toronto, so there are just a few external Manhattan locations, and they feel like people who would probably bore you at a party, and you have to sit and watch them for 2 hours, and you don't. It's hard to care whether they end up together or not.
Wanda's on the line. Wanda with us from Sacramento.
Yeah, thanks. This has been a very interesting conversation. But I have to agree with you, too. And the other thing I think that romantic comedies or even romance so much now is they meet, they have sex, and then they start developing a relationship. Whereas, like, It Happened One Night, I mean, the scene where the Wall of Jericho came down, I mean, we don't see that. And they've developed a relationship over time through all of these different things that they've had to go through. So by the time that happens, you're I don't know, just more involved in what's going on.
The sexual tension lasts longer than the first reel.
Exactly. And I think that sort of tension is what creates what makes these movies so so kind of thrilling and interesting. And even if you know where they're going, because, I mean, the romantic comedy is almost by definition the most predictable genre there is, it's the creation of that tension, and it's very hard to do if the characters go to bed with each other in the first half hour of the movie, or if you know that they really would have, even if the movie is contriving some reason that they didn't.
Wanda, thanks very much for the call.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And Tony Scott, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And it was a nice
Valentine's
piece.
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. A.O. Scott, a film critic with the New York Times, with us from his home in Brooklyn. You can find a link to his article on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News.